Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text, our reading for this day from St. Paul, from which we read verse 7 once more. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. One of the charges laid against us in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and therefore against the office of the ministry, is a poor view of reality. The charge may be true, and that's what troubles me. We of all people should have no poor view of reality. We are the only people in the whole universe who understand reality. We look at the optimism in our world or the despair. We look at people trying to view and take a perspective of our world from the field of the scientific method, psychology, sociology, even the arts, from the body politic and on down the line, and telling, well, this is the way the world is, to which we answer no. The world is a world of reality, all right. It is a fallen world, one that is bound in the heaviest chains of sin and decay, a world that is blind to God, unable to see its way out, unable to find light. They are blind and deaf, and they are mute to God. And that's the truth. That's reality. We are on the way to perdition, the whole world. And that's reality. We are in deep need, and that's the truth. Well, you're called to be ministers of the gospel. And if we can see that reality in the world of its deep need in sin and death and under judgment, then just maybe we ought to take a look at the reality of ministry. What is it? The chapter is too long, but I will try and pick 4 points from that whole chapter, chapter 4, as we look at the reality into which we move to serve. Number one. Servanthood, he had it in verse 5. I know clergymen, I know faculty members, not just of this place, but other schools. I know students, not only here, but in other schools, whose concept of reality of the ministry is not what is here, but in their nostrils is a smell of power and a sense of pride, and not servanthood. You look to him, and you find there pride or power. That is the smell and reek of it. For the manipulation of anyone. Rather, I find one who came to give his life. I find one whom Paul writes of in Philippians. He came and donned the form of a servant of servants. He gave his life into death. He was my substitute. He stood before the bar of God's justice. He took my name and answered for my charge. And when he sweat in Gethsemane and he bled on Calvary, he was bleeding for me. Yea, he was me. He was me. and by his humble servanthood, he won a crown for me. From servanthood, he said, you'll be a king. For he has forgiven all my transgressions, wiped out all my guilt by his servanthood. To that servanthood you are called. I think St. Paul reminded me in another place, you are the scum of the earth. Not much to appeal to, is it? Has it ever occurred to you as you look through the Gospels on Maundy Thursday and you read about the institution of the Lord's Supper, what does St. John have? Washing the feet. I love it. How our Lord takes his grandest moment when you and I will be privileged to distribute the very body and blood of Christ. But against that background, he would wash our feet. What does it tell you about servanthood and handling holy things? Servanthood isn't all. There is also the man who occupies the office of the servant, who would proclaim the gospel. Seems to me I read something in here about earthen vessels. Fragile. Limited. Breakable. Not dependable. Why? He's talking about me. The fragile, breakable, undependable one. Me. In ministry. I have nothing to offer him that he needs. Let us have that clear. He has by grace reached out and picked me and called me and made me his own in baptism and lifted me up to the office of the ministry. Not because of who I am or what I am, but because of who he is and what he is. And because in grace he said, I'll use you. Fragile, breakable, not dependable, self-seeking, self-serving, all that. But I tell you what a glorious calling it is. What a reminder to us that the greatness of God does not reside in the power or the wisdom, the strength, the glory of man, but solely in his Son, who is our Savior. Not much to go on, but we're what he chooses. Thank God. But it isn't what we are that counts, is it? It's the treasure. That's the third point, is the treasure which is placed within us so that we might pour from out of us to others in that deepest of all needs for Jesus Christ and his blood. You fragile, breakable, undependable, what did St. Paul say, the scum of the earth, you are allowed to bring the treasure of Jesus Christ to a dying world. What a treasure. It overshadows all that I am. There is nothing that you will not endure for the treasure. You can't let yourself count. It's only the treasure that counts. And John said it, only as I decrease and he increases, am I what he wants me to be. Fourth point, the final view of reality. four views of reality, of ministry. We've talked about the need of the world. We've talked about our servanthood copying his. We've talked about the man himself and what he is not. We've spoken about the treasure which is the gospel in Jesus Christ. And now, men, for your personal ministry, I want to take a few minutes. Be aware that these two verses speak of your ministry. I will read these two verses again and comment on them. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. If you are looking for some kind of power or glory or honor or reverence or awe from men, forget the ministry. Please do the people of God a favor. Get out. But if you can look into the mirror and say this honestly, all right. I will be afflicted in every way. I will be perplexed. I will be persecuted, and I will be struck down. That's a view of the reality of the ministry. That's the only kind of ministers that God can use when he calls them. None other. But I want you to know, as the reality of this situation is presented in grim words before us, that there is another part of the verse that was read as well. Afflicted reminds us that we have a ministry and servanthood of suffering. Not easy. But it also says we will not be crushed. We will not be ground down. Never. We will be perplexed. We will be uncertain as to what's happening now and what do I do next. But we will not be in despair. Never, never, never. He will not allow it. We will be persecuted to be a faithful servant of his. Is to have enmity with the world. Not friends, not toadying to the world. Whatever you say, we go along with in love and liberty. But only as the world comes back at us in viciousness and hatred, do we know in Jesus Christ that's what he wants. But I remind you, he says, he will not forsake us. Never, never, never. And finally, to be struck down. Only when you are struck down in the ministry are you completely on your naked faith. When all the props are gone and you're flat out, then you are struck down in ministry. But not destroyed. That's cool. That's reality. That is to which you are going. We need a lot of servants out there. We don't need any masters, just servants. The world will call us the scum. So be it. For his sake and for the world's. Purpose of a servant is to serve. And we will serve wherever, whenever, however, with the only thing we have to offer, that magnificent treasure, Jesus Christ and him crucified, the servant of servants. And I remind you, at the end of all time, the king of all the princes. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.